All right, let me just pause. Jed, are you there? Let me just pause. Jed, are you there?
I am. Made it back.
All right. Very good. You made it back from Mars to the moon and back to Earth. We are delighted that you are here. Thank you so much to all of you and each of you for joining our MediaBids Power Hour, educational opportunity for advertising sales leaders from around the world. For those of you who are selling ads in print, newsletters, in digital side, on the website, whatever you're doing related to advertising sales is in the sweet spot of what we do here. For those of you that are joining us that have web-only footprints, for those of you who have newspapers, magazines, direct mail, paid subscription, free subscription, controlled circ, you know who you are. Those are all under the umbrella of what we'll be talking about here today and during all of our programs. Please, just a couple of opening words. We love your questions, whether you sent them before or during the course of our educational teleseminar. Simply hit a reply to the confirmation that brought you here or a quick email to ernest@powerhour.com, and we will work and weave them in. If we don't answer your question here, we will do it as a follow-up to today's educational program. Also, for today, all you needed was just a phone number. We keep it very, very simple in our teleseminars, but it's not by accident or chance. The very best in adult education and learning simply says the more notes you're taking, the more actively you're listening, the more that we're infusing that knowledge. It's the coach approach, something that we have done with ad sales leaders around the world going into our 21st year here at Power Hour. Today you're going to be hearing from Jed, the CEO and founder of MediaBids. We're going to be talking about programmatic ad buying, but I always like Jed to share some opening words about he, his team, some of the things moving around. I'll say a few words about Power Hour, and then we will dive right into our educational program, plus field your questions. So Jed, how about some opening words for us here today?
All right. Thanks, Ernest. First of all, thanks to Ernest, who does a great job with these teleseminars. Today, I'll be doing more talking than I usually do, but Ernest brings an enormous amount of knowledge and experience to the to these teleseminars, and I encourage you to listen to teleseminars that we've recorded from the past, where he's really done a great job to lay out some fantastic ideas of how to be more successful in sort of all aspects of publishing. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids. We are a company that drives revenue to print publications. We do it in a variety of different ways, and we're always exploring sort of new options, and that's why I was sort of excited to talk about programmatic advertising and what's going on in the marketplace today. But we do not charge publications to use MediaBids. We only make money when publications make money. If you're currently using us, thank you. If you're not currently using us, we'd love to talk to you. We're always looking for more publication partners. We currently work with about 12,000 publications from around the country in Canada and in a few cases further afield than that. But we're we believe in print, and we believe that that if done correctly, it can be an extremely effective medium. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to hearing from you if we don't know you already.
And working with the team at MediaBids, they know what they're doing. They understand our goals from an advertising sales perspective. They help you make more money, right? And then the other part is they bring a nice array of advertisers you typically would not get that are making regional or national buys. And as a result of that, it gives you even more street credibility, right, to be able to go out and sell even more of those. So it really is a very nice symbiotic relationship. You get really top-shelf advertisers, and you get revenue, and you get the opportunity to go sell more ads related to those top-shelf advertisers. So it really works nicely. Jed and his team understand what it means to win what I call the old-fashioned way. When they say they're going to do something, they deliver. When they say they're going to follow up, they do so. So it's really wonderful to work with them. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I've been in the media advertising sales space for 3 decades, way, way back, and, of course, 21 years ago, launched my company, powerhour.com. I encourage you to take a look at it. I've launched my own three publications over the years. I was a leader in a billion-dollar media group, and today we coach more than 2,000 advertising sales companies and their teams in 11 time zones around the world. It really is wonderful to work together with you. I always like to say, the hotter the kitchen, the more we love it, meaning when you've got big goals, big dreams, big challenges, big competitors, that things are, that's the work that we absolutely love. Most importantly as well, every Tuesday we put on a wonderful sales academy. We have very specific areas that we work on, the 19 areas of a media kit, 26 business development strategies, 21 negotiating skills. You get my point. Every Tuesday we meet. It's like we're doing here, but it's open mic. We field your questions. Every week we have a specific topical area to add sales. You listen to an audio message on Monday or Tuesday, and then you come join us at 1 o'clock Eastern every Tuesday. We generally meet for 30 minutes. You'll love the work that we do, and it's always about helping you win, but there's a very live, interactive component. So, Jed, here we are. Let's talk about programmatic ad buying, right? I must say, when you first rolled out programmatic, it was like, okay, hang on, how many M's are in there? And then I thought, wasn't there something called a Selectormatic? Wasn't there like a Chevy that had a transmission like that was called Select? I don't think I've seen the word programmatic, so maybe that's like a nice opening starting point. Let's get rolling, okay?
Sure. Programmatic advertising is sort of a very general term, and it's used to on a very high level describe the use of software to purchase ads. A good example of this would be, for example, the travel industry. Something like Expedia or Travelocity, right, would be considered sort of a programmatic approach to selling airline tickets. The New York Stock Exchange, for example, when it went from just sort of a floor-based, you gotta shout at the specialist in order to make a sale or to buy stocks, when it went to an automated electronic approach, that's sort of an example of programmatic. So when we talk about programmatic ad buying and selling, we're talking about is the use of software to enhance and to enable the purchase of ads, there are more complicated sort of iterations of it, but at its heart, that's all it is. So unlike a lot of earnest teleseminars where he gives sort of really clear ideas and really specific action items, it's a little bit more difficult when discussing programmatic. But programmatic is an incredibly interesting phenomenon which is going on, and something which will impact publications either directly or indirectly. If it hasn't already impacted people, then it will in the very near future, because it is everywhere. It is absolutely exploded, and it has become sort of the dominant ad buying and selling mechanism online. There's probably a lot of people on this call who already use programmatic exchanges to sell online inventory, and that's sort of at the heart of it. The way that a lot of these online exchanges work is that advertisers essentially are buying groups of websites, right? They're buying through a computer program. They're making a purchase on websites that they may not ever have heard of. One of the main things that I hope people get out of this teleseminar is that programmatic ads are changing the way that advertisers buy, and as advertisers have different expectations about how they buy, that tends to bleed into other mediums. Because as we've seen sort of from recent past, once advertisers expectations change, they tend to have the same expectations regardless of the medium. You know, for example, what we've seen happen with pay-per-click advertising online has for really forever changed advertiser expectations, you know, at all levels in all mediums. You know, we've talked about it before in other teleseminars, but the way that businesses of all sizes think about their marketing today is much different than it was 10 or 20 years ago. Increasingly, advertisers really expect to be able to generate measurable results through whatever they're spending, you know, in regardless of the medium. So programmatic being the sort of the movement that it is, really allows for really, you know, we should take pause as sort of print people, right? Because it clearly is going to change the way that advertisers think about marketing, and also it changes their expectations. So let's see. So, you know, it's
Jed, this is our right, pause. If I could insert, there's a question related to what is driving the, you know, you said the popularity has exploded, right, of programmatic advertising. So the question coming in from one of our participants live is, why has it exploded, or what is the convergence? Is it because of the web? Is it because Google and the way they've aggregated? Is it because of the way media is being handled? I mean, can you say more about why it's exploded?
Yeah, I mean, let me just say something about the explosion, right? I mean, so estimates are that nearly $15 billion worth of digital advertising will be purchased with programmatic buying technology this year. That's according to eMarketer. That represents about 55% of all of the money spent on digital display ads in the U.S. And according to lots of sources, that number will grow to over about $20 billion in 2017. So that's a 63% increase. And there are lots of reasons for it. There, you know, first and foremost, it is easy, right? It's a super easy way of buying. You don't have to deal with salespeople. You don't have to send IOs. You don't have to negotiate a price. You are bidding essentially on the space that you want. There's a couple different iterations for it. A lot of them are what's known as RTB, real time bidding. There are also just direct purchases where using software, an advertiser is making a purchase for a specific website or group of websites. But yeah, I mean, companies like Google and Yahoo and Adobe, believe it or not, which I didn't really realize, are some of the biggest players in online programmatic advertising, because they've aggregated all of these websites. They've made the inventory available. Advertisers can go to one place, place a bid, and then from there they can you know, their ads run, and it runs a lot like pay-per-click, in that, you know, you have an account, you fund it, and then the purchases that you make are drawn off of whatever funds you have in that account. But it's absolutely exploded. I mean, it's the kind of thing where, you know, you know, 55%, you know, all the digital ad money spent through programmatic channels is really not something that I had anticipated prior to this teleseminar. I thought it was was not nearly as widespread. So, you know, more people are spending more money, for example, online, you know, through programmatic exchanges than in newspapers combined, right? I mean, so it's really become the pervasive way of buying display ads.
All right. So let's just pause here. For those of you posing your questions, please continue to send them in. We wanted to address that part related to the explosion of and the timing and so forth. So let's talk a little bit, Jed. Give us some of the estimates, right, of what's moving around on this digital ad size and what's being purchased, and walk us through some of those numbers, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I mentioned some earlier, but you know, the the growth is enormous. In 2017, the estimates are that about $20 billion will flow through programmatic ad exchanges, which is you know, way above where it is this year. You know, currently the estimates are for 2015 that about $15 billion worth of ads will flow through these programmatic ad exchanges, such as, you know, the programmatic arm of Google, programmatic arm of Yahoo. You know, it's most of the usual suspects are really the biggest players. But you know, it's really all types of advertisers are doing it. I mean, like a lot of new technologies, some of the larger companies tend to be the earliest adopters. American Express, for example, has told all of their marketing vendors that they only want to buy through programmatic going forward, and they're, you know, obviously an enormous advertiser. It's become the sort of the preferred way for a lot of large companies to try to maximize their display ad budgets.
Mm-hmm. So if we could, Jed, take us down a little bit of the history. Walk us backward a little bit so we can understand a little bit of the backdrop of how we got here, and then we'll dive in and talk about some of the ad buying offers and so forth, okay?
Right. Yeah, so the you know, programmatic ad exchanges just didn't rise up out of nowhere. You know, when banner ads first appeared, which was 21 years ago, believe it or not, only 21 years ago, the first banner ad appeared on Hotwired.com, which was the precursor to Wired magazine. Originally, the programmatic ad systems were developed as sort of a clever way for websites to sell remnant banner ads. Since there was almost unlimited inventory available, advertising inventory on websites, and the websites were just growing so quickly, there just weren't enough salespeople in the world to sell all of the space that was available. Right now, there's about 700 million active websites in the world, and you know, a large number of them sell ads. I don't know how many, but it's significant. So with all of that advertising inventory available, there needed to be a way to try to sell unused space, and that's where these exchanges essentially arose. So originally, it was really just about buying undersold, buying inventory, buying space on kind of obscure websites that were having difficulty selling their space. It's evolved, however, and it's evolved in a couple very important ways that impact the entire marketing world. And the first and foremost way that it's evolved is that it's gone from being a place where you could buy sort of cheap ads to being a place where you could buy targeted ads. And obviously, you know, digital websites have enormous advantage over most print outlets in this regard, because they're able to flow ads in real time. But the idea is that an advertiser can make a purchase and run an ad, you know, in an instant. And as mobile becomes more pervasive, and as we all sort of are exposed to ads in on the devices that we depend on an everyday basis, that type of technology really becomes critical and really becomes offers a way for advertisers to get in front of people that's pretty valuable. So what these exchanges have kind of developed into is a way of targeting certain types of people. You know, some of them on the most rudimentary level are targeting based on gender, based on age. Others are much more sophisticated, where they're targeting based on, you know, the geography of the person who's seeing the ad, when they're seeing it. They can target an ad based on previous sort of usage. Web usage, like, you know, we've all been followed around by an ad. You know, if you visit an e-commerce site, you're likely to see an ad for the same store on whatever site you go to next, right? You know, that's a good example of sort of a programmatic buy where that advertiser is saying, for anyone who comes to my site and goes to another one, I'm willing to pay X. And so whenever that happens, that ad automatically gets shown because the cookie data that is embedded in my browser is letting the new website know that, hey, I just came from another website. So all of that happens automatically, and all of that happens through these exchanges that I just mentioned. So there's lots of different ways of doing it, but the main point is that it's evolved from being sort of a way of selling space to a way of selling exposure to certain individuals, you know, certain types of individuals, in an aggregated format.
Mm-hmm. And Jed, in some of your research, there was an example that you found related to News Corp. Yes,
right. So News Corp uses information that they gather on their online readers across all their titles to sell ads that are focused on very specific segments of their online readership. So, depending on the type of article that you read, depending on where you click on their sites, you're shown different ads. You know, 10 different people looking at a News Corp website will see 10 different ads. So they're able to sell that information, sell that inventory by through these exchanges by basically having the data and saying, hey, look, you know, we have, you know, approximately 1,000 people who are interested in last night's football game. You know, we think they're these types of people, and there are advertisers who are willing to pay for that. Now, the question is that population segment valuable enough that they're going to be able to get, you know, to charge the advertisers enough of a premium to get to have it, you know, approach their rate card price. And in a lot of cases, they can approach or exceed their rate card price, right? If the segment that advertisers are trying to reach is a valuable segment, someone that they really covet. In other cases, it's far less, but it's almost always more than sort of the bottom of the barrel remnant price that would be given to advertisers who are willing to advertise virtually anywhere, just get in front of any eyeball. You know, and the more targeted, the more segmented an ad buy is, you know, typically the more valuable it becomes. And so as you know, what News Corp has been able to do is generate a good profit stream for themselves by selling their audience programmatically. And that's really what it comes down to, right? That's sort of the differentiating factor in how I, for example, as a historically print first person, really thinks about the world versus the way that programmatic thinks about the world. And that is that, you know, when you're an advertiser and you're buying a programmatic ad, you tend to be buying an audience. You tend to be buying a segment of the population which is predefined. For print person, right, you're selling circulation, you're hoping that the readership in the publication that you're purchasing fits the demographic of the product you're selling. In programmatic, there's really no such thing. It's really all about, you know what the audience that you're searching for is. And now it's just a matter of finding the media outlet that's going to fulfill that audience's desire and put your ad in front of that audience. So it's a it seems like a minor change in terms of the way of thinking, but it has enormous repercussions, and it really is changing not just the way that ads are bought and sold, but the way that advertisers expect to be able to market their products.
Mm-hmm. All right. And thank you for that. And again, the questions that are rolling in, we appreciate those. Just hit a reply to the confirmation that brought you here and or send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com, and we'll sort and sift those in. So thank you so much for those. And so, Jed, the next question, it really ties to, so why are advertising dollars shifting, right, to programmatic, right? I mean, what is driving, this piece? And really, how does it fill the need, for publishers, publications, their advertisers? How does all of that fit together? Let's go down that path if we couldn't field that question.
Sure. I mean, the number one thing that everyone says about programmatic, which is the biggest advantage, is that it's just efficient, right? It's efficient on a couple levels. First of all, it's efficient for advertisers because it's fast. They don't have to deal with salespeople. There's no insertion orders. It's extremely targeted. They're able to advertise exactly where they want, when they want, to the types of people that they're looking for. A lot of the teleseminars that we give and some of the things that we often talk about are related to salespeople and salespeople, sort of behavior and how they can be more effective. One of the things which I think is worth noting as a print person is that there's an increasing number of businesses out there that aren't interested in talking to salespeople, right? The normal sales approach that has been successful for print for, 100 years doesn't have as much resonance with this segment of advertisers as it did, 10 or 15 years ago. And that is because there are a segment of advertisers out there who are making purchases and are almost entirely making purchases on the data that they have, on the consumers that they're trying to reach, and the media outlets that they're using to try to reach them. And this is where this is one of the areas that makes programmatic such a sort of scary challenge for print publications. And that is because when these types of buyers run up against print, none of the rules that they're used to applying really, really work. Unless publications are able to supply data, which, in all honesty, a lot of them currently are unable to do. And this would be data on the types of response that ads generate, and also on the type of audience that the ads are going to appear in front of. These are two sort of data points that publications tend to ignore. In almost every teleseminar that we've given over the past 2 years or so, maybe longer, I've managed to work in, Ernest and I have talked about, this idea of tracking results, right? Tracking how an ad does. Here at MediaBids, we do it with 800 numbers. We do it with thousands of ads a month, and we're able to see how each ad performs, the types of response that it gets, how long someone spends on the phone from that ad. This is all pretty rudimentary information, but it helps enormously, right? It begins to sort of paint a picture. This is the type of information that publications, if they want to, and I believe that they'll need to, sort of tap into this programmatic buying mentality, this is the type of information that publications really have to have at their disposal, right? They have to be able to paint a picture for the advertisers in numbers and in data. And without it, it's really just, you're sort of, you know, you're fighting a tough battle because you're not able to speak the language that an increasing number of marketers really depend on. That's one data, you know, one important data set is results and how ads perform. And another critical data set when it comes to these types of advertisers is about your audience. A lot of publications have a very sort of vague idea of the types of people who are reading their publication and why. What those people are like, what their buying habits are like, what their interests are. Sometimes it's as general as, I have a publication that covers a specific town, right? And it can be that general. But increasingly, advertisers want more, right? They want to be able to maximize the efficiency of their purchase. So they want to know, you know, if I buy this, am I going to be in front of how many people who are likely to be customers? What are the people who are seeing my ad look like? What are their buying habits like? What are their, what's the response rate like for an ad like this? This is all information which, in sort of a programmatic world, has become kind of commonplace for websites. And I think that, for print to keep up and for print to really, sort of latch on to some of this increasing budget that's being thrown this way, you've got to be able to supply this data.
So when you say supply, this kind of data, when you're working directly with ad sales teams, publications, their websites and so forth, are you helping them pull this data, supply that data, or are you querying them saying, look, in order for us to work together based on our advertisers, this is the data that we need? How does that sort of conversation work between Mediabids and those publications and media groups that you're speaking with, Jed?
Well, when we're doing it, it's difficult to sort of apply all of these kind of programmatic ideas to print. So I'm talking about, when we talk to advertisers, right, I think is really where it comes out. When we're dealing with advertisers, they increasingly want the types of information that that is difficult for print to supply, and it really boils down to risk, and we've talked about this in previous teleseminars, but advertisers are risk averse, right? They're always risk averse, and they will sort of migrate to the least risky, most likely to succeed medium that they possibly can, and that's one of the reasons why pay-per-click, for example, has been so successful, right? The idea that I don't have to pay unless someone clicks on my ad. Well, what could go wrong with that, right? I mean, that's just a no-brainer. So, that's what's made Google $100 billion company, right? Is that they can sell ads with limited risk. It's much more difficult to do that in print because of the conventional way that it's always been sold. Some of the cost structures involved in actually putting a print publication out are much more burdensome than having a website, for example. And so when we're talking to advertisers want to. Want to buy print, want the exposure that print can give them, but increasingly, and I believe as time goes on, it's going to even escalate and multiply. Advertisers want to know and believe that they're sort of entitled to know the types of more information about who will be seeing the ad. Right, this idea that you're going to buy an ad, run it in a publication, hope for a response. And that publication is sort of a general distribution publication, is becoming sort of harder and harder for advertisers to kind of wrap their heads around, because because if you're, you know, if you're used to, you know, spending money to target your ad to, you know, to 25-year-old females, and you can do that, you know, efficiently and quickly and easily, then, you know, then why should I buy an ad in a publication and hope that, you know, hope that some 25-year-old females are going to see it? So this is the sort of mentality that, you know, that we're up against, and I think that, that all publications, you know, eventually will be up against, because as programmatic becomes more pervasive and is more and more businesses are exposed to it, right, they're going to, in the same way that you know, we saw it happen with pay-per-click, it becomes just sort of part of the expectation. It becomes what advertisers expect to be available to them. And you know, and it's a challenge, but it's not insurmountable. You know what, publications have a pretty good story to tell. They just have to gather the data to tell it, and that's
right.
That ultimately is sort of the way to succeed in sort of, you know, with these changing expectations.
So Jed, as we're coming around the bend on point number two, before we get to point number three about how it's being applied to print and how it fits in terms of companies, was there anything else that you wanted to share about how ads are sold, response data, readership data, anything more to clarify on that point before we move to the third of the 3 points here today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, so the main advantage for advertisers when they're using these programmatic systems is that, you know, it's efficient. They're buying extremely targeted ads, and they're buying sort of an audience and not space or in the case of TV or radio, time. Right? They're buying something, you know, that to them feels a little more tangible than a sort of conventional ad approach. For publishers, the advantage is that it's an efficient way of sort of moving inventory that they're unable to sell for premium prices. They can do so without bogging down a salesperson, and it gives them exposure to advertisers who probably are not going to be the types of advertisers who just, you know, show up on their doorstep and want to buy an ad. So there's big advantages for both. There's some real negatives to programmatic which are worth mentioning, and that is that, you know, fraud, for example, is an enormous problem. You know, there are, as you can imagine, when you have this much money floating around, you know, there are all sorts of bogus websites that are running ads that, you know, that are lying about their data and are essentially cheating the advertisers who are participating in these marketplaces. But, you know, but like a lot of things, you know, that'll probably get sorted out as time goes on, and there'll become, you know, more and more ways of kind of cracking down on that. The other thing is that's worth mentioning is that programmatic ads are sort of subject to the same sort of problems that all online ads are, and that is that the delivery of them and the execution of them is extremely efficient, right? But in the end result, they're not necessarily the most efficient form of advertising. You know, just because you can get an ad in front of someone very quickly, very cheaply, and very efficiently, doesn't necessarily mean that person is going to buy. And so there's something sort of inherent about the digital mediums that causes a much lower percentage of people to buy through digital properties than they do in more conventional mediums like print. You know, for example, here at MediaBids, you know, we run a lot of digital ads. We also run a lot of print ads, and we typically see, you know, a difference of about 40% or so between the close rate online and the close rate in print. So we're about twice as likely to get a sale through a print ad than we are online. And that's, you know, the volume is less, right? We may not get as many respondents, but the people who do respond to print tend to be much more qualified, tend to be worth a lot more. They tend to stick around as customers, and this is from information that our advertisers give us. You know, they're more likely to make future purchases. They're more likely to make purchases that are worth more. Whereas online, it's a much lower value customer that tends to be driven to an online sale. And I'm not even sure that it's a different person per se, as much as it is, it's a different way of interacting with the company that they're buying from. So, you know, the person who's buying from a print ad, it's a much more considered purchase. It's a much more valuable purchase. Whereas the person who's buying, online, I think it tends to be, you know, sort of a quicker purchase without a lot of thought. So, although programmatic has some really compelling, some really compelling aspects as far as advertisers are concerned, it does have sort of the inherent issue of what happens after someone sees the ad, and the numbers are extremely low in terms of response when it comes to how someone sees the ad. You know, one of the things I'm hoping that people will take away from this teleseminar is that the way that advertisers purchased, right, is changing, and some of the things that they're looking at when they purchase are changing, and the data that they expect to have at their fingertips is changing, and all of that information, you know, is sort of a different issue than how the actual medium is performing. But it's worth noting that that print from a sales perspective still does quite well.
Mm-hmm. You bet. So let's weave in this piece, and I know there's some questions that we're going to also field, and I want to always, of course, be respectful, and Jed and myself want to be respectful of your busy days. We look to wrap up right at about the top of the hour and do so consistently. But Jed, this point about point number three, this question that's out here, you know, about ad buying methods and what other print publications are doing, how they're capitalizing. There was some research that you did behind the scenes regarding Time, yes, and their magazine.
Yeah, I mean, they're Time. You know, Time Inc. has really been the leader, right, in sort of trying to figure out how to integrate some of the programmatic ad approach into print, and what they've done is they began selling in 2013 programmatic print advertising in 18 of their titles, and so these are magazines like People and Sports Illustrated and Fortune. So rather than selling space in a specific publication, the programmatic opportunity that they're offering allows an advertiser to buy an audience segment. So they have, you know, women, men, lifestyle, business and finance are just some of their, you know, some of their offerings. And so they have these segments, and so an advertiser using this, you know, their proprietary online exchange goes in and says, you know, I want men, right? And so they make a purchase for men, and then that ad appears across 18 of their titles. What they're able to do, because they've got some pretty sophisticated, you know, printing capabilities, is they're able to say, okay, you know, we know who the men are in our circulation, so we're only going to put that ad in the Sports Illustrated editions that are going to men, and so on. So they can actually change the print run, as I think we've all seen. they can change the print run among, you know, across many different sort of, you know, broad strokes. And so the actual, you know, the Sports Illustrated that I get, right, might be different than the Sports Illustrated that, that you get. So that, you know, and that's how Time has sort of implemented it. And what they've found in, you know, the relatively limited time period that they've done this experiment is that they find that they're beginning to attract a lot of digital advertisers who otherwise hadn't been using print. You know, these are people who are accustomed to the exchanges, to the programmatic exchanges, people, you know, advertisers who really want to purchase print and want the audience that print can supply, but they want to buy it in the same way that they're buying everything else. And so Time sort of has believed that it's a success. They believe that it's really something that has boosted their sales, and you know they're going to continue to push it. You know, they're a little cagey about giving out exact numbers in terms of, you know, how many dollars are actually flowing through their exchange each year. But it appears to be big enough for them to continue to work on the exchange and to make improvements as time goes on.
Yeah, and I think the important piece to recognize here is that, look, out in our media space, it's ever evolving and it's fast paced and it's moving quickly. And what we're looking to bring here today is an understanding of the depth of what's happening with programmatic ad buying, what it means to you and your sales team, how you sift and sort this. You know, things that large companies are doing, are there components of it we can emulate? What do we know about readership surveys? How are we doing in terms of our tracking? Where is the ROI, the case studies, the things that we do? There's so much of what we do as ad sales professionals that even if it were a smaller to medium-sized company and organization, we can take the nuggets from here and say, look, if this is what the world is asking, how closely are we aligning to that, and how far ahead are we ahead of our direct competitors similar in size, or in fact, are we behind them? You know, that's really, Jed, what we're trying to do is ring the bell for what's out here, much like we've been doing over the last decade during these teleseminars, is let's stay out front with the tools, the resources, the news, and today the trends of what's coming so that you can sort of be good predictors of what? The future, right, Jed? That's the spirit of what we're doing here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, as I started off this teleseminar, you know, it's difficult to say, you know, this is what's going on in programmatic advertising, this is what you got to start doing tomorrow. You know, it's not like that, but I think it's pretty clear that the trends are going, you know, which way the trends are going in terms of advertisers' expectations. And as advertisers' expectations change, you know, our jobs change. and all of the important components that you just mentioned, you know, become even more important and become even, you know, we have to do an even better job of providing that data. Because without it, you know, we become passé, right? We become something that you know, you never want to be in a position where a group of advertisers just, you know, won't even consider making a buy, right? Because you're not able to supply the information that they want.
Yep. No, you're exactly correct. I'm sorry. Yes.
No, that's, I mean, we could probably, there's a few questions here we haven't gotten to yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a question from Maryland about what's the most cost-effective advertising method across print and digital platforms. You know, and it sounds like that's really a question which is almost impossible to answer, right? Because the way that I would look at that question, you know, what's the most cost-effective advertising method across digital, you know, across mediums, is, you know, really depends on what you're selling, and it really depends upon response. And, you know, my way of approaching that would be, you know, you don't know until you test things. You know, I think what we find very often is that the cheapest way to advertise very often is digital, you know, whether it be banner ads or pay-per-click, you know, tends to be cheaper than something like print. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the most cost-effective, right? Until you start to measure the results that you get, the number of sales that you get, the close rate on, you know, on respondents, you know, and the value of the customers that are driven, it becomes very difficult to sort of definitively say one advertising medium is more cost-effective than another. Because ultimately that's what advertising is all about, is making sales.
And Jed, let me just insert, you know, a point just to dovetail behind that, right? I mean, go back to the early days, the evolution of a little classified or a small ad in a newspaper, and you'd get hundreds of calls, but they were not as qualified compared to publications where you had more content, more information about the particular company. So an advertiser would go, oh, the newspaper just rings my phone off the hook, and the first observation was great, but how many of those actually call and come into your store? Well, I don't know. Well, why don't we start to pay attention to that? And what percent of those actually convert and buy? Well, I don't know. Well, let's pay attention. And then you had specialty. Take, for example, you know, if it was a camera publication or photography, the only readers were what? People interested in cameras and photography, right? So they were fewer calls from the ads that were placed there, but they were what? Better qualified and bought more camera and photography equipment. So hence the store needed some education to understand it's not about the quantity of the calls, perception. The reality is what rings the cash register, what converts into revenue. And we're still in the same place today. I love when I hear, you know, advertising sales teams that say, oh my gosh, you know, I go out to an advertiser and they tell me they've got all the social media covered. And I say, really? When was the last time they made a tweet? I don't know. Well, did you look? When was the last time a post on Facebook? How many likes? Well, what are they doing with their blog? By the way, have you taken a look at their SEO? You know, are they in fact doing something, or is that one more of those objections like, oh, I don't have you in the budget, or gee, I don't have any budget dollars, really? All right. So these are the myths of ad sales selling. But what does it mean for us? We have to have our act together. We've got to know what's happening in our spaces across all the platforms. And today you're hearing another component. Programmatic buying is another arena to understand so that you can be in speaking with ad agencies and key buyers and know what they're talking about. And then, of course, utilize and understand it so that you know what parts of that you bring, what you don't, and what else you need to go out into the marketplace. Let's field one last question. We have one of our participants from Wisconsin who has a question. Jed, you want to address the question that came in?
Sure. He's he asked, how do we control where on our site the ads get placed? And I think what he's asking is, you know, how he can put programmatic ads on his website. And it's really pretty simple. You know, it's a small little bit of code which is supplied to you by whatever vendor you're using. And you know, as I mentioned, you know, some of the big ones are kind of the usual suspects like Google and Yahoo and Microsoft, but there are literally hundreds of them. There are some press associations around the country that are starting to supply programmatic digital ads to their members, and it's really just a small bit of code that you put in where your banner ads would normally be, and that allows these ads to be flowed right into your website. You know, it's simple. The accounting portion of it is not as simple, you know, and that really varies exchange to exchange, you know, from the ones I've seen, there are some that are very, very good at it and others that aren't are a little more confusing. And by accounting, I mean, you know, being able to, you know, to sort of to track what, you know, what ads are being shown when and what the total bill should be, really what it boils down to. But in terms of getting started, I mean, it's a pretty easy thing to do. It's not that dissimilar than doing a regular banner ad on your site. But you know, you do lose some control, right? Because the programmatic ad exchanges are flowing in whatever ads they're selling. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get, some publishers are pretty specific about the types of advertisers that they want, the types of advertisers that they're willing to accept, and there can be some issues along those lines, because you are sort of ceding control of a space on your website to a third party.
Mm-hmm. So in response to the question, Jed, myself, we're here for you. If you have additional questions as follow-up, we'd love to field those. We'll continue to stay on top of the news and the trends related to our space of ad buying. It is moving faster and faster than ever before. So therefore, quite honestly, Jed, the best visual is the waves keeps getting higher, the beach keeps getting closer, the rocks keep getting sharper, right? We're having to pay more and more attention to what's happening in our space. And in some cases, in some of our spaces, the bigger getting bigger, right? And there's some efficiencies that are coming with that. But there's always still the component of what you do, who you serve, who is your audience, who is your reader, what are you delivering on that side of the house that will continue to be important. Look at Warren Buffett going out and buying all those newspapers across small and medium markets. What was that about? Because he knows that that's a sustainable audience. I live in one of those small markets. My newspaper is the Bible. It comes in only twice a week, but I read it cover to cover. I look at all the little pictures of my little Johnny and the football teams and the lacrosse girls and all the things that are going on. It's engaging. Yes, of course, there's a website, but it's engaging, and it continues to be. So there is a space and place for all of us. Know your space. Know who you serve well. But positively, absolutely, you need a whole lot more data than ever before. And we wish we could wave a magic wand. We can't. We'd be lying if we told you otherwise. We do have to work harder to earn our ad sales because the marketplace is requiring it. And that's really the world that we're in terms of media sales. Jed, any closing comments before we pause for... Just tell us somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's a good synopsis. I mean, I think that one of the interesting things in reading more about programmatic in preparation for this teleseminar was that it sort of is clear that, you know, it's becoming more and more popular. You know, the expectations are that it's going to become sort of the dominant form of digital ad purchasing. And as that happens, you know, it invariably is going to the expectations that advertisers have from purchasing that way are going to bleed into other mediums and including print. And the thing is that, you know, to keep in mind is that print has a great story to tell. It just doesn't have as, it's just not as easy to tell, right? Because it's harder to gather the information, it's harder to compile the information, and it's harder to present the information, but it's there. Right, it's all there, and it's a great story. You know, you probably all have audiences which are extremely desirable, and you all have products which are probably extremely effective. It's just a matter of proving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, and that's really the key component, is knowing the audience, knowing what it is that's working for your readers and your advertisers, and matching that up. And we have to be absolutely so tight in both. So as we wrap up this month's teleseminar, please let us know what questions you have for us. Please let us know about the challenges or the opportunities that you see out there. We are here. We love your questions, and we are here to answer the questions of what's the hottest in the kitchen, right? What is the latest news? What's working the best? Where are the greatest opportunities? Where are the greatest challenges? What is it you're bumping into? Your questions inspire myself and Jed every single month. Over all the years that we've been putting these here together, your questions inspire us, and your questions create the opportunity for us to bring the latest and the most important tools, resources, news, and trends for you. Jed, it's always a pleasure working here together. To all of you, to each of you who already work with MediaBids, you know the wonderful services they provide. If for those of you who are not or have not yet engaged their services, go to mediabids.com. And then likewise, come into our site, powerhour.com. We have a whole
portal, all tied to ad selling and ad sales success. And we have 3 decades of expertise and insight helping leaders like you, plus a wonderful academy every Tuesday just focused on our selling strategies where we address topics like this. The difference is the line is open and we're fielding your questions one by one. Jed, always a pleasure working together, and I look forward to our next and upcoming teleseminar. Always a delight.
Great. Thank you, and thanks everyone for joining us.
Take care.
Thank you.